It's going to be cleared away and pulled away by Moxie. Moxie down the left flank to Gale. Gale's only got Delph to beat here. Delph has to hold strong. Gale cuts inside, shoots, it's into the far corner. And would you believe it,
goal.
Brad Guzan beat it. And it's the substitute, Dwight Gale, with a spectacular strike on the top of the 18-yard box. Cut inside, only had Delph to beat. Stepped around him and with a right-footed shot, curled it into the top corner. And that is Aston Villa 0, Crystal Palace 1, with about 2 minutes left of added time to play.
Brendan Rodgers cries foul play as his Liverpool side almost outdo City at the Etihad. Have the Reds finally become title contenders? Arsenal waste chances but get it done against West Ham. Is Big Sam going to be gone before the new year? And do Arsenal too have title credentials? And as Tim Sherwood takes over at Tottenham Hotspur, they still can't get a win against caretaker manager Keith Downing's West Bromwich Albion. All the news from around the Premier League today on World Football Daily Christmas Special. Welcome to the show. I'm Oliver the Deuce Wilson, bringing you the news and, of course, the views from around the world of football. A very Merry Christmas, a very happy festive season to you all. Happy holidays. I hope it was all very kind to you, and I hope that you got exactly what you wanted from the holiday season. I know I did, and that was a fantastic weekend of Premier League football. We were entertained, we were overjoyed, and we were pretty much spoiled rotten over the festive season, especially on Boxing Day. Some incredible games. Before we do anything, I think it's only fair to run through how everything has set up since we last spoke to you on the show here on World Football Daily. Of course, no other European fixtures or football really of note to get into at the moment. Aside from, of course, Clint Dempsey and his move to Fulham for a two-month loan. That's the big change down on the River Thames, down Putney Way, as Clint Dempsey returns to Fulham on a two-month loan to try and get his old former club out of their predicament that they find themselves in the Premier League. And they find themselves at the moment off the bottom of the table, of course, off and above West Ham United in 18th place now. Fulham just below Crystal Palace in 17th, who have been able to move their way out of the relegation zone. Let's run through, as I said, though, first the scores from over the Boxing Day period and have a look back at some of those games. It all kicked off up at Hull with Manchester United travelling there and going two goals down against Hull City. Incredible to see United trailing on Boxing Day. I thought it was going to be a Christmas miracle for the Hull City fans, the Hull City Tigers fans. But instead, United coming back from 2-0 down to win 3-2, despite Antonio Valencia getting sent off late on for his second bookable offence, kicking the ball away. A needless yellow card to take, and Wayne Rooney's stunner, giving Manchester United a 3-2 win. Rooney with an assist and, of course, that great goal, showing how important he is to Manchester United at this moment in time. Then we move to the Midlands in the game I was covering yesterday. And I have to say, it's a game that stopped me from doing anything too crazy at Christmas. Plenty of food, of course, plenty of food. The turkey, the basic, you know, all the trimmings kind of thing. And you sit there in almost a food coma over Christmas, lying there just it is fantastic. I do love the festive season, but very little drink on Christmas Day for myself. Had to make sure I was in tip-top condition to do Aston Villa against Crystal Palace, and unbelievably, Palace coming away with a 1-0 win, an absolute stunner right at the death from Dwight Gale, giving Crystal Palace a 1-0 win at Villa Park. Much to the disappointment of Paul Lambert and Brad Guzan. Before we run through any of the other scores, here's what Paul Lambert had to say in his press conference after the game.
Oh, tough to take that, and a lot of endeavour and a lot of hard work, but no much creativity. And we got hit with a classic counter attack, you know, especially when we had most of the game. Crystal Palace might have had clear-cut chances, and their goal, from their point of view, was a terrific strike. So disappointing.
You've only won twice at home now this season. That's four you've lost in a row in a Premier League. How are you going to rectify the home form going into the next game? And what can you do to G the lads up to try and get a result here? Is there too much pressure at Villa Park?
Well, there shouldn't be, because you'd be 40,000 behind you, more or less, every single week. So there shouldn't be that pressure. pressure. There's an expectance level you have to try and live up to if you play here. That's normal. I've said that from day one I came in. You've got to be able to handle that situation. So if there's anything positive out of it, you won't have time to dwell on it because you've got a quick turnaround, which is Saturday. So you have to go again Saturday. It's all cliche, but you have to pick yourself up. You have to meet the challenge. There's no point in wilting or disappointed at the end. Probably the most disappointed person in the stadium when you lose a game. But you pick yourself up and you meet that challenge ahead.
Fans were obviously not very happy at the end.
Yeah.
What can you say to them to kind of, you know, going into the next game?
What's
going to happen? How are you going to bounce back?
Listen, the way you bounce back is by winning. That's what you have to try and do. Try and give them something to go with. The support's there. This club will always have the support. Always will do. But you cannot, as I said, you can't be critical of the supporters here because they've backed us all the way. And you stick with it, and that's important. It's important that everybody sticks together.
And on that, Ryan had a bit of a spat at the end with other fans. What do you know anything about that?
No, is that right? I never saw that. I've not heard anything, so I can't comment on something I never.
And you said they support you well, so are you disappointed with that?
As I say, I can't. You asked me something, I don't really know what's happened there, so it's unfair me to comment on something I don't know. Appreciate your assumption of it, but I've not heard anything.
Okay, thanks. Can you understand the fans' frustration?
Oh yeah, listen, it's any club is this one even more so because it's big and the support it's got. Fans will vent their frustration and the same way they'll get behind you when you're winning. It's the same. You have to be big enough to take it, and you have to see it through. There's no two ways about it. You can't run away from it. It's there.
Do you think, Paul, that the team is big enough to take it?
Yeah, no, I believe that. Yeah, it's the same group of lads, more or less, on that run last year as well, right through. It's the same group, or one or two injuries and suspensions at the minute. But it's more or less the same group. So I don't have a problem with that.
Do you think you're in the relegation fight now?
No. Listen, you look at the table, it's
only 3 points out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, but you've got to look at the other side of it. Everybody in that side will be doing the exact same as us. They'll be fighting the
exact
same. I
appreciate that, Paul, but, you know, you're 3 points out of the relegation zone. You've lost four on the spit. Mm. People aren't looking at that way, they might be looking that way.
No, but
they haven't come today, they've obviously shot on
that. But my job is to try and be as positive as I can. I've got to. That's my job. I'm not going to be downbeat. You have to pick them up and go again Saturday. And as I said, I've seen the table there, like I do after every game. It's as tight as anything for midway right down. Tight as anything.
Paul, are you concerned that there's only been six goals so far out of nine games? Is that worrying?
So the home form isn't good enough. That's the thing.
The goal scoring isn't, you know,
is
a specific.
Yeah, but that's contributing to it. You know, lack of goals is contributing to no winning games. So it's disappointing from that point of view. But as I said, it's you have to stand up and be counted. We have to stand up and be counted. We have to try and go on that front foot. And she said, I couldn't fault the lads for their effort and endeavour of that side. We've got to create more when you have most of the ball. We've never done that.
Ben Teke wasn't in the 18. Is there any chance of him being involved Saturday?
No, he's still got that little problem with his knee at the minute. Hopefully, after Saturday, hopefully he'll be OK.
You make changes, Saturday now,
just
two days in before the next game?
Well, the only one we've got coming back is Weston from suspension. You know, that's the only one we've really got coming back. So he'll come into the fray of it and we'll see. We'll sit tomorrow, see how they're feeling and pick a team that we think can try and win a game.
Does Christian miss the entire Christmas and New Year programme, Paul?
I'm not sure he'll miss the. He'll miss. Likely he'll miss Saturday.
likelihood.
Prospect up for the trip to
Sunderland. Hopefully, see how he's feeling and see how he's how that knee is, you know.
I mean, you've been obviously competitive away from home. Mm. Why is it that you're struggling so much here? I mean, somebody was saying it's the worst record in the entire league at the moment.
Yeah. You've got to turn that around. There's no magic formula to say that they're going to turn it around. Maybe there's more pressure on them at home because of the amount of crowd that are coming to support us. But you should overcome that. That should be a given, that, because you've got when the crowd turn up for games, they're right on your side. When the goals are not getting in and then they get frustrated or you lose a goal like we did in the last minute, at tenfold. But you can understand.
Well, you mentioned the lack of creativity. Is it a case of the problem with the guys on the ball in the midfield? We did a lot of ball, or lack of movement and up front, because obviously they get more space going now.
Yeah.
It's not so much to play the ball into, is it?
It was tight. Today was very tight. I thought that today's game was really tight, the way Crystal Palace, to be fair to Tony Cott, got it right, and they defended well and defended deep. It's hard. We needed that creativity, or we needed a goal to go in to try and entice them out to play us a bit more, which never happened. I thought we'd decent chances with Andy's two, the ones that Andy hit over the bar on his volley. I thought maybe we might have got one in that side. But the disappointing thing is, if you can't, as I said before, if you can't win it, you make sure you don't lose it and we get caught. Yeah.
Tell you what, can we just we'll start the cameras rolling and have a few questions about Swansea now? Is that all right?
Yeah.
We'll do Swansea.
We'll just do Swansea and then.
So it'll be a different game. So do you think that could maybe work through
a bump? Totally different game. The good football side, and Michael's done great there, and we had two good games against them last season, and different style, but still a really, really tough game.
That was one of your better performances of the early last season, wasn't it? You really got in and amongst them. Presumably, although it's 40 hours, a high energy tempo, pressing miles up the pitch, presumably you'll be after pretty much the same.
Well, I think the way they play, they're a good football side, so you can't really give them time, or try and not give them time on the ball. And it was a tough game, but we have to go on that front foot. It's normal.
You knocked on that, you
strived
that last year.
We played pretty well that day, and I think Matty scored that goal, and it was Christian's first goal, wasn't it?
So
we'll try and do that again.
I mean, I know it's pleading for, I mean, what would you ask for from the crowd, Paul? Just a bit of patience again?
Yeah, listen.
Because it's coming hot on the heels of a pretty desperate performance today.
Listen. They're entitled to, they pay their money, and the guys are out grafting away and hard-earned work they have. They come support their team. We don't give them something, that's what happens. But, it lies are edgy with certain things. But that's they have to overcome that as well. You can't turn around and be critical of the crowd. That's for sure. It's too many. It's too big a club. But it's probably no help in the case of us trying to play a game in certain times. But listen, they come, as I said, they pay their money, and they're entitled to voice their opinion, because it's hard their money, but they guys and ladies go out and get out there.
Well, Swansea haven't won in four, and you haven't won in four. Does that put more pressure on both teams to win the next game?
I think there's always, but even if you don't win in one, there's pressure. You get, football now, you get one or two games, and then it's the way football management is. It's always the case. You've lost two games, you've not won two games, or there's a crisis there. It's getting more and more shorter, and Swansea are obviously in that same kind of run as ourselves. Pretty sure if you ask Michael, he said, is that the same? It's a big game for both teams.
Is Ron likely to be back?
No, Ron's still struggling with his calf. That's been a blow as well. If you look at, we lost Okora, Blair, Benteke. You've lost big players, big players. And I'm not, listen, but we're a million miles from where I want to be. that's for sure. I don't want to be sitting like this every time, and we're a million miles from it, and we're sitting mid-table, albeit, as you said there, you're three from down then, but so you're looking through, you cut the table in half at the minute, that's what you can do, and then everybody's in that group of fighting along with everybody else. But it's a challenge. I'm not going to walt, and I've never waltzed. You might fight it, you fight it. I'm not going to run away from it.
The crowd has not turned against you or the team yet. They've been remarkably supportive.
Mm.
You don't give them something soon, do you think, that they might?
We have to, John. Football is about giving people something to cheer. It's important. As I say, that the support level is huge there. And that we're doing everything we can to take it on, to keep building what we want to try and do. As I said before, I'm a million miles short from where I want to be to what I want to do with the club, what I want to try and do. But you can't stop people voicing their opinion. As I said before, it's hard-earned.
Do you mind when Paul let me say that today?
You expect it. You expect it. As I said, from one point of view, personally, I know what it's like because I've played the big clubs as a footballer. I've played the big clubs, so
yeah,
I know.
You're not used to, with respect, you want to give, you've always been there, haven't you, with Celtic, with Dortmund?
Yeah, but I was never exempt from criticism, you know. And I remember my first few games at Celtic, I lost them. People saying, go back to Dortmund. It was 60,000, whatever it was. No good enough. Until I bedded myself in and got a grip of it. And then it went reasonably okay. So I know criticism. I know personally, but for the team, when they're younger, that's the thing. When they're young, they just need that support for the thinking. Good.
Have you explained that to them? Have you given them your personal experience to help some of these lads, the likes of the Latins and the Livers and the Bakers and the Clarks? Mm.
You might not have. Yeah, you train. State your experience or what you actually think, you know. And I mean, you're at a big club. As I said before, you talk about bravery. Some people can talk about bravery of going in for a tackle that's 10 feet high and blood, guts and thunder. Bravery is taking a ball in front of 40, 50,000, 60,000 in an area where people will just shy away from it. As long as you never do that, which that's one thing I can't label trying to hide. As long as you never do that, as long as you keep trying to do the right things, then I'll never criticise.
Don't
want
to put too much on the kid's shoulders, but Westwood was a bit of a miss today, wasn't he?
He's a big miss because of the way he plays. He never said when he's not there, he may not get the credit he deserves, but maybe people might realise when he's not there, it's
just
a big,
what it gives to you.
Big miss. Yeah. And you can look at him, but if you go right through his spine, Benteke, Westwood and Villar, it's big players that are no availables for the minute.
Do you think you'll be okay when you get the call back?
Yeah. Listen, the club, as I said, is miles from where I want to be. Miles. An absolute country mile. And you want to take it right through to levels. And to do that, you need to keep building it and adding quality to it and adding every turn.
And here's the words as well of American goalkeeper, US men's national team backup to Tim Howard, Brad Guzin, after I spoke to him about the tie against Aston Villa and Crystal Palace, and his thoughts on Dwight Gayle's absolute stunner of a goal.
Yeah, not the way we wanted the game to go, obviously. And to lose it essentially on the last play or so of the game, it knocks you back a bit, but I guess the good thing about the Christmas period is we go again Saturday and we find a way to stick together, which we will. There's no doubt about that. And we, like I said, we go again.
Were you surprised how cagey that first half was? Neither side able to create too many chances. How it opened up in that second half. And at the end, you, as I say, it got end to end and you pulled off that incredible save from Barry to tip it onto the post.
Yeah. I guess you always kind of felt that was probably the way the game was going to go. The first half, like you said, wasn't too much in it, for either side. And then the second half opened up, and when things start to open up, it becomes, I guess, exciting for the spectators because it's, like you said, going to be end-to-end, box-to-box. And, from our end, it was a bit short tonight. But, the the fact that we were able to play again Saturday and go again. You know, we have to find the way when we step across that white line, though, we find a way to get a result.
What needs to change at home and for Swansea in particular? Is it the creativity? Is it the firepower? Because it's struggling with goals on home soil.
I don't know. I don't know to be able to put my finger, you know, on it exactly. But I think the most important thing, you know, we understand the frustration, you know, as players, as spectators, as fans, as a club, as professional footballers. You, every time you step across the white line onto the pitch, you want to win. So it's no different for us as it is for the spectators, and you know, we're all in this together. And you know, the run of games obviously hasn't been great, but now it's another chance on Saturday for us to turn it around. Whether you know, like I said, I don't know exactly what it is, but you know, we'll definitely give it a go and keep fighting.
Paul has to take obviously a fair bit of that criticism from the fans as he walks down the touchline. How much of that do you put as players on your own shoulders as well?
Well, I think as players, we have to take a lot of that responsibility because we're the ones playing the game. You know, regardless of you know, what's said in the dressing room, what goes on at the training ground to prepare for a game, you know, us as players have to go out and perform. And so, you can't, as players and as professionals, you can't hide behind, you know, the manager. You can't hide behind the staff. You know, we have to stand up and be counted for. We have to take that responsibility upon ourselves.
Has that been the message from the manager after the game, just to all stick together to get you through this period?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know we're going through a difficult run. You know, it doesn't make us a bad team. You know, we're still the same team that, you know, beat Arsenal away. You know, we're a good team. We're confident in the quality that we have in the dressing room. So, yes, we know the run isn't great, but at the same time, it doesn't change who we are as a team and some of the good results and the positive results that we've had so far this year. And we know there's going to be more positive results, and it's just a matter of changing that, and hopefully we can do that Saturday.
Thanks, Brad.
Cheers.
Thanks,
guys.
And finally, it was very much a Tony Pulis-style performance from Crystal Palace. Very well organised, very well structured indeed. I said to actually my co-commentator, Pat Hurd, before we kicked off the game, I said, this is going to be exactly like Stoke. It's going to be a defensive performance from Palace. They'll come very organised, very well structured, and they'll sit back, soak up as much pressure as they can. And then when push comes to shove, they're going to start coming out a little bit more, trying some long balls over the top, and they're going to press an Aston Villa defence that's looking shaky time and time. Every time it steps on the pitch at the moment, it's not looking good. And what do you know? That's exactly what happened. Villa opened themselves up slightly as they went desperately looking for a win. It's, of course, a Palace side that's only had 3 points on the road this season, those coming at Hull. And a 1-0 win earlier on in the year. They've lost every game other than that on the road. And Villa went looking for the win, and it bit them in the behind as Fabian Delph was left one-on-one with Dwight Gayle. Gayle turning Delph, who really should have just showed him down the outside of the penalty area, instead allowed him to cut inside onto the right foot, smashes it into the far top corner, and a cracking finish for Tony Pulis, the new boss, of course, of Crystal Palace this season. Let's hear what he had to say after the game.
Well, I thought the chances, the keeper's made a wonderful save off Bannon. I've just had a look at it on the tape, and it's a fantastic save. The ball's actually behind him when he touches it onto the post. And, you know, I thought Punchin had two great opportunities as well. So, you know, we had the chances, we created the chances. First half was pretty affair, really, in lots of respects. But I thought the second half, it opened up a bit. And when you've got Balassi and Punchin down the side of the pitch, you know, they've got great pace to break onto the teams. And, you know, that was shown today.
The goal was fantastic.
No, it's a fantastic strike from Gailey. He can do that. And, you know, no one more pleased than myself to see it go in. But it shouldn't take away the rest of the lads and what they've given today. You know, the keeper, all the way through, the keeper through to the subs we used were very, very good and worked very, very hard for the result.
And the game plan, you probably set it out like that, start from Villa
Well, we knew that if we came here and we could keep them quiet, then, you know, the crowd might get a bit restless. And that's what we managed to do. And like I say, the first 45 minutes was always going to be important to us.
How do you see it now, Tony, the relegation scrap? Because everybody's bottom three won today, didn't
I just think it's, you know, it's a 38 game season, and you know, everybody has got, you know, taking what we do. We'll, and you know me, we'll take it game by game. We play Man City in 2 days' time, which will be, you know, very, very difficult for us. You know, they're averaging just under 5 goals a game at home. So we know how tough it's going to be, and the next game will, you know, and it rolls, and then the next game and the next game, no easy game. So you have to just stay focused. It gives me an opportunity and a chance now to talk to the chairman and hopefully try and bring one or two players in, which we need. You know, we really are down, or we were down on players today. So you know, it gives us that opportunity. You know, we have, you know, we've done very well over the past month or so, but we've got to keep it going. The January window, from my experience, is a very difficult window to do business in. But we would hope to bring, you know, a few in. We'll have to, you know, move a few out as well. But if we can do that and bring the right ones in, it will help us. It will give us a chance. And that's all, you know, from the beginning when I took the job. You know, I just said to the chairman that you know, I'll do my best to try and give us a chance.
After what you said about Dwight Gayle the other day, Tony, is his best position for you going to be almost as an impact player coming off the bench?
No, I don't see it like that. I think that I haven't seen, it's the same as Johnny Parr at left back. I haven't seen a lot of certain players. You know, I'm a manager that picks a team, and if you're in that team, it's more difficult to get out of the team than you know, or to lose your place out of that side. That's the way I've always managed. So sometimes for the people who haven't started, it's difficult to get that run of games, especially if the team does all right. And apart from the Newcastle game last week, the team has done exceptionally well. And you know, even at Chelsea 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, you know, we had the opportunity and the chances to get a result there.
There are 38 games, as you say, but with your away record, having lost the last two City coming, this feels like a very significant result.
Well, it was a significant result in respect of the Newcastle result. You know, we're getting beat at home 3-0 by Newcastle, and sort of like we got back to basics today and made it very, very difficult for people to get in certain areas. And that's, you know, as a coach, you have to organise and set your team up. And, you know, we know where we are in respect of what we've got. And we'll play to our strengths and try and get results, you know, from the players we've got.
Do you think playing away
would
suit you in some way?
I hope not, because our home form will be very, very important. And we beat, obviously, Cardiff and West Ham on a bounce at our place. They drew with Everton. You know, they've drawn, I think, with Tottenham as well. So the home form is important, and home results will be more important than away results.
Tony, do you think the Villa fans will be missing Barry Bannon?
No, not at all. I think the you know, Paul is, last year Paul did a wonderful job here keeping the club up. I don't think he's got the credit that he deserves. You know, they've had a you know, not the greatest start in respect of the size of the football club. You know, the size of the football club, it's enormous. But you know, Benteke was an absolute dream last year, and obviously he's picked up a few injuries and that's affected him. But they'll be fine. You know, I think they've got some terrific players. They just need a little bit of luck and a few breaks, and they'll be fine. Villa will be fine. There'll be no problems here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, that's all the reaction from the Aston Villa Crystal Palace game on the weekend. Then we move to Cardiff against Southampton. A 3-0 win for the Saints. And who bet against them at the moment? They're a side just looking in fine form. J. Rodriguez and Ricky Lambert with the 3 goals for them. In a pretty comfortable performance for Southampton. We'll find out how they're looking in the table when we get there in just a moment. Chelsea saved the embarrassment of a draw at home to Swansea thanks to Eden Hazard's 29th minute goal. Still can't buy a goal from their strikers though. And Eden Hazard, as I say, saving the blushes around Stamford Bridge. Although there's no mean thing getting a point at home against Swansea, obviously. So everybody suddenly realised how good a side Swansea are in the Premier League this season. Not a side to be messed with, Mr. Laudrup's side, that's for sure. Everton losing on the road against Sunderland. An unbelievable result. I don't think anybody had this in their predictions for a little bit of I know the score, that's for sure. Everton with that 1-0 loss, at home against Sunderland. falling to a Ki Sang-yung goal 25 minutes in after Tim Howard sent off in that game for Everton. Won't affect the US men's national team, though, in any way, shape or form, that's for sure. Newcastle took on Stoke on Boxing Day. A 5-1 win for them. Papi Cisse, Johan Kabay, Loic Remy, Johan Gufran, all on the score sheet. Remy with two as he gets his scoring boots back on after a little bit of a dry spell for the Frenchman up at Newcastle and just slaughtering Mark Hughes' Stoke. From Norwich City took on Fulham. And Fulham coming away with a big 2-1 win. Scott Parker's 87th minute striker. Great strike from the edge of the area. He doesn't bag many, but I'll tell you what, that was a bit of a corker, that one. Arguably the goal of the day, although I think I prefer Gale's at the moment. Kasami with a strike 33 minutes after Gary Hooper had given Norwich the lead. Tottenham took on West Brom, as I mentioned earlier. Tim Sherwood given a 18-month contract by Daniel Levy down at White Hart Lane. A number of people very pleased to see a big job going to an English manager. Let's see if he can actually be as well, pull something out of the hat, I guess, and show that English managers are still worth a little bit of money in the Premier League, because a number of people saying they're very pleased not to see that goal, see that job go to an English manager opposed to a foreign big-name coach or anything like that. Christian Eriksen opened the scoring with a fantastic free kick of his own before Jonas Olsen equalised for the Baggies 2 minutes later. That was all she wrote in that one after 38 minutes. 1-1 draw, Tottenham against West Brom. Arsenal, who had chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. I mean, when you look at the stats here for this one, Arsenal, 12 blocked shots, 18 shots from inside the box, 12 from outside the box, 3 goals, of course. 8 shots on target, 29 shots in total for the Gunners. And Lukas Podolski bagging one himself after being out of the side since August. Theo Walcott with two. A lucky strike that skipped along the ground and took a slight defection, stopping Adrian, the West Ham keeper, from being able to get onto it. Wonderful reaction header from Walcott to add the second after 71 minutes. And then Podolski after 79 minutes with his goal. Great layoff from Oliver Giroud, who arguably should have had 2 or 3 on the day himself. But Arsenal, nevertheless, able to get the result at Upton Park. And Sam Allardyce's job is looking very precarious at the moment. And then the big game on Boxing Day, Manchester City taking on Liverpool. We were expecting a great game. It was a great game of football. Coutinho opening the scoring after 24 minutes. A wonderful teamwork goal. And Jordan Henderson as well, having an absolute stormer yesterday. He was playing everywhere. The Liverpool midfielder looked incredible. Vincent Kompany, though, pulling his side level. And Alvaro Negredo with a strike that really Simon Mignolet will have been very, very disappointed to have conceded. Flapping a hand at it, not getting a good paw in it. Though I wonder that the strike technique that Negredo used, because that looks like it's going over, doesn't it? When Negredo strikes it, that looks like it's going over. He almost hits it with too full with the outside of his right boot. Trying to lob the keeper, I totally got that. But I think he's made too much of a kind of solid connection with it. And in the end, it was, I think Mignolet didn't actually have to need to make a save. And Mignolet flapping at it and catching it, it's actually taken some of the power off the ball that's allowed it to dribble over the line and go in. City, though, holding on for a 2-1 win after Liverpool put up an impressive fight back trying to get a second goal. Brendan Rodgers, extremely unhappy with the refereeing on the afternoon. If you go to any of the papers, any of the news websites around the UK, Lee Mason has been called into question by Brendan Rodgers after that game in his press conference after some horrendous refereeing decisions that included that Raheem Sterling goal that was pulled out and that was called offside by the linesman. About 4 yards onside, though, Sterling, when that ball's played through, rounded Joe Hart, tucked the ball in, would have changed the game completely. Instead, though, Lee Mason, who it's been noted by Rodgers that is a referee from Greater Manchester. A number of people not very happy about that at all. Let us know your thoughts. Should a manager, referee, so even keep saying manager, referee from Greater Manchester be allowed to manage a referee from Greater Manchester be allowed to referee a game involving Manchester clubs? Was there any bias in there at all? I don't think so, personally. These referees know the letter of the law, and I think they just make mistakes. But Rodgers very frustrated in such a big game where Liverpool could have had a point, arguably could have had 3 points as well, and shown their title credentials. That's the other thing. for this. Liverpool, everybody still is saying that they're not title contenders. A number of people are saying they won't stick it out, they won't hold on. And for Rodgers, these sorts of games are times when he can kind of grab a victory and show people, actually, they're here to stay. We are here to be title contenders. We are here to play football and to get a Premier League title this season. And he believes that they've got the chance. And games like this show that they do have the chance, arguably. We saw Arsenal, you know, very tough game against West Ham. Nothing's going their way for the first kind of 70 minutes or so. But eventually, they finally break the duck. They get a comfortable 3-1 win against West Ham. Although Colton Cole had a number of chances before Arsenal grabbed their equaliser to double West Ham's lead, and could have been a different story down at Upton Park on the weekend. But both these two sides have almost points to prove after the dominance of City, United and Chelsea in the last few years, with all of their big money spending and, of course, the Sir Alex Ferguson factor. And now they're seeing an opportunity to put themselves back in the mix in the title fight, and they want these games to go their way to show that they have the credentials to the performances to back it up. But anyway, those are the results from Boxing Day. This is how the Premier League table looks now. With Liverpool's loss, Arsenal go top of the league, 39 points. Manchester City, second place, 38 points. Chelsea, 37 points in third place. Liverpool, 36 points in fourth place. Everton, 34 points in fifth. Newcastle, 33 points in sixth and 31 points. Manchester United, seventh, 31 points. Tottenham Hotspur in eighth. What a top eight that is. 8 points separating first to eighth place. Southampton, 27 points in ninth place. And Stoke, no changes from either of them. Nor Swansea or Hull City in 11th and 12th, respectively. Villa still in 13th, but Norwich in 14th. Both those sides, five of those sides, in fact, losing from 10th down to 14th. The Baggies got a point, moved up to 15th above Cardiff City, who dropped down to 16th. Palace, as I say, out at the bottom three in 17th. Fulham 18th, West Ham 19th, and Sunderland down in 20th. Still on the foot of the table, now only a point off West Ham in 19th, and 3 points off Palace and Fulham. I did say that Sunderland have got a good enough side to avoid the drop, even though their slow start and bottom at Christmas, will it change? The bottom at Christmas, almost, it's a given. I think people just assume it's a given that that being bottom at Christmas means you're going to go down. Are Sunderland going to buck that trend? Well, they have an opportunity to do it coming up this weekend. Of course, this is a Friday edition of the show. It's a time for a little bit and a brief rundown of a solo IKTS with myself here on World Football Daily. All kicks off tomorrow on Saturday on the 28th with West Ham against West Brom, the early kickoff. I can't imagine any of our US listeners are going to be getting up too early for that one, but that's where I'm heading down actually this weekend. So if you do get a chance to watch it, please do. It should be an absolute cracker. Have a follow on Twitter at @Juice_Wilson with a capital J, capital W, to get some shots from around the ground and whatnot. Remember, I was posting some of those up on my Twitter account as well this weekend from Villa Park. Yes, West Ham taking on West Bromwich Albion this weekend as the Hammers look to try and turn things around. A terrible run of form at the moment for them. The Hammers winless in their last five games. Their last 3 points coming about six games ago in that 3-0 win against Fulham, taking on a baggy side that have at least grabbed 2 points and stopped the rot after four straight losses. Keith Downing able to grab a couple of points in his first games as caretaker manager of the Baggies. And they'll be looking to get 3 points then on the road against the Hammers on the weekend. West Brom and West Ham have met five times at Upton Park in the Barclays Premier League. And 10 different managers have taken charge of that. Sam Allardyce and Keith Downing will be in charge this weekend. But will it be Big Sam's last hurrah as West Ham manager as the pressure mounts? Pressure as well on Aston Villa manager Paul Lambert. You heard from him earlier in the show. It was very, very surprising, actually, because, Paul Lambert, the boos that you heard, when McLeish came into Villa, he was loathed, despised by everybody. But the boos that you heard at the end of that Crystal Palace game, I've never heard those boos so loud as I did this weekend. Compared to anything else that that McLeish took compared to anything that Lambert took last year. The boos at the end of the Palace loss this weekend, the loudest I've ever heard between coming from Villa fans. Four straight losses now, and they're not impressive losses either. Fulham losing 2-0. Of course, the United loss, but losing to Stoke 2-1, and the manner of the performances along with that Palace loss this weekend, not good for Paul Lambert, and a difficult task against a Swansea side that have been up and down, and they're on a bit of a downer at the moment. Two straight losses, only a draw with Hull and a draw with Norwich. Loss, of course, against Everton and with Chelsea on the weekend, but they'll be looking to turn things around. They've got the quality to do it as well. That's the worry for Villa. You don't know where that quality is going to come from. Hull City take on Fulham. Hull exceeding expectations at the moment, up there in 12th, as I say, joint with Swansea on 20 points, three draws and a loss from their last four games. Fulham, on the other hand, a vital 3 points this weekend against Norwich, away from home as well, and two wins, 6 points from their last four games. Of course, that Aston Villa win coming into effect is the turnaround starting to take place down at Fulham. Manchester City take on Crystal Palace at the Etihad. I tell you what, put some goals on this one. Oh yeah, we're meant to be doing IKTS, aren't we? I will give you West Ham, West Brom, a 2-1 win for the Baggies. Villa will lose 2-1 against Swansea. Hull, Fulham will be a Hull City 1-0 win at home. Do look strong. Yes, Manchester City against Crystal Palace. There's going to be goals in this one, but they're all going to be for one side. It's going to be City 4, Crystal Palace 0. Manchester City unstoppable at the Etihad. Just about looked still unstoppable against Liverpool. And of course, they've only dropped 2 points in their last five games. That draw, of course, coming against Southampton. Aside from that, five wins from their last six. Norwich take on Manchester United. Have United turned a corner? Another fight back, similar to the one against Stoke at Old Trafford, this time on the road against Hull this weekend. And they are up to seventh. Three wins from their last four. A draw coming in between. That with new three wins from the last four, a loss just before that to Newcastle United, but three straight wins, 9 points from the last nine three games, a big turnaround for David Moyes, a nice little streak to be on. Over the Christmas period, I can see United getting a 2-0 win away from home, doing it a little more competently than they did against Hull City, and of course to finish it off on Saturday, Cardiff against Sunderland. Big game, big opportunity for Cardiff to try and pull themselves away from the bottom of the table down there in 16th, but in touching distance of Fulham, West Ham and Crystal Palace all just below them. I could definitely see Cardiff getting something against Sunderland at home, although the pressure is still on Malky Mackay. Vincent Tan does what he wants. Is that the right thing in football? He's just a joker, this guy. I love Vincent Tan for the comedy that he brings to football, but the way it's affecting Malky Mackay is, of course, absolutely terrible. You know, Vincent Tan's just like this out there kind of... He's like a wacky uncle almost. Comes in like, I love this club I've just bought. Oh, it's amazing. But I don't like the shirt. Oh, but we've always been blue, Vincent. No, we're being red now. Awkward pause. But Vincent, we're the Bluebirds. We're always blue. No, we're being red now, and we're having a dragon on the logo. Bigger dragon, small bluebird. We'll compromise. I mean, he just does whatever he wants. The way he's handling Malky Mackay, obviously terrible, sending that email saying, sack or be sacked, resign or be sacked. And Malky Mackay saying, well, I'm not going to resign. And now you've got an awkward standoff. Malky, at least if he's going to go, deserves his £3 million payout that he would be entitled to. Tan, on the other hand, just desperate not to give him that money, but also wants to get rid of him without having to pay it. Will be very interesting to see how that continues. Cardiff with a 1-0 win against Sunderland in the late game on Saturday. I'm moving into Sunday, just some cracking games coming up. 1:30, Everton take on Southampton and Newcastle take on Arsenal. Everton looking to continue their charge with Beto Martinez. A loss this week, the first in the last six games for Roberto Martinez's side. Martinez saying, we're not title contenders yet, but I tell you what, they are looking like Champions League contenders, that's for sure, at the moment, with Romelu Lukaku. They take on a Southampton side looking to push themselves back towards that top five, top six of the Premier League. 27 points at the moment, a win. Results going their way could put them in touching distance of eighth place, with Tottenham United Newcastle roundabout there. But at home, Everton look too strong. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. Everton can see still Southampton scoring. And the Saints, obviously, on a half-decent run of form as well. 3 wins, 1 loss and a draw in their last 5 games. Newcastle take on Arsenal at St James's Park. Does anybody remember that 4-all from a few years back with Tiote's unbelievable strike? If we could get that again, that'd be fantastic. Top of the league, Arsenal. Are they going to win a Premier League title this season? Kaz Wenger finally turned it around against Alan Pardew's side that, remember at the beginning of the season when we were worrying about Newcastle? Up in sixth place. Who's worrying now? 1 loss in their last 5 games, four wins in their last 6 and 1 draw in between. And a loss coming against Swansea. I tell you what, nothing wrong with Newcastle United at the moment. This could be an all-out brawl. I've got this down as a 2-all draw in my IKTS. And then the later games on Sunday. Tottenham against Stoke, kicking off at 4 o'clock down in London. Spurs could do with a win against a struggling Stoke side that have won 1-6. Three losses, coming in that time as well. It's not great for Stoke City. Taking on a Tottenham side, Tim Sherwood trying to turn things around. And they've had a win and a draw under Tim Sherwood at the moment. But Adebayor, great tweet from Rafa this weekend, by the way. Because we were asking last week, you know, how long does it take Adebayor to kind of fall away from that performance, that stellar performance he put in against Southampton last weekend. We didn't realise it would take just a few days. The Christmas period obviously settling in for Adebayor, who looked woeful against West Bromwich Albion. I'm going to go, though, with a 1-0 win for Tottenham. They'll scrape it through at White Hart Lane. And Chelsea against Liverpool. This one, again, could be an absolute cracker. Mourinho against Brendan Rodgers. Third against fourth. An opportunity for Liverpool to bounce back from that Manchester City defeat yesterday. Chelsea can't score. They can't score. You know, we're used to seeing those Chelseas of old kind of just banging in the goals with people like Drogba. You know, you look at City, and the extreme, of course, 53 goals this year. But Liverpool, 43 goals this year so far. Arsenal, 36. But they went through, you know, a tough patch, and they haven't been banging goals in. They've only got Giroud up front. We're not expecting goals from Arsenal. Chelsea, though, with their striking lineup, we still thought there would be goals in this side. 33 goals so far from their first 18. It's definitely not bad. It's definitely not bad, but when you've got United, Newcastle, Everton all around about that, Chelsea aren't looking spectacular in front of goal, and their forwards just aren't doing the business at the moment. When you look at the goals from their forwards this season, you know, Fernando Torres sat there, just 2 goals this season. Schürrle, 3 goals this season. He's not really a forward. Similarly, Eden Hazard, not really a forward, but has at least bagged 7 goals this season. Denver Barr, now there's one of your strikers, only 1 goal this season. And Samuel Eto'o, of course, that new signing came in this year, only 2 goals this season. Chelsea need a forward, and they need one quickly. It's going to be very tough indeed for them this season if they can't do that. Surely, if they can't find a striker, title aspirations are completely out of the window. Completely out of the window if they can't do that. But Chelsea taking on Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Liverpool win on the road. Ballsy prediction coming up for the Christmas Day, post-Christmas show. So plenty of great games coming from around the Premier League this weekend. And there's plenty more football coming your way as well, with, of course, New Year's Day football coming up after this weekend. We'll be taking a look at those fixtures later on in the week after the games this weekend. We'll, of course, be back on Monday at the usual time, giving you a post-28th, 29th Premier League show. Build up to the New Year's Day games. Then, of course, we'll have the build up to the FA Cup after New Year's Day, bringing you that show as well, with the FA Cup ties coming up on the 4th and 5th, and looking back at what took place on New Year's Day. And we will be back to normal, I believe it's the 6th of January, Monday the 6th, if my calendar serves me correctly, that we will be back to normal here on World Football Daily. Just enough time, though, for me to make amends for apparently the whole media. We had an email coming through from Jimmy to the World Football Daily email account. It says, please check out this article. Lukaku was not pushed out of Chelsea. he asked for the loan move. There's a link to the article. The quotes say that Lukaku said, he wanted me to stay and asked me why I wanted to leave. In some interviews, my words were twisted, but the truth is that he accepted to let me leave. This is Lukaku speaking. He did understand that I wanted this. That's what I really appreciate in him. The centre-forward, it goes on to say, has stolen the headline during this time as at Everton, and the 20-year-old is focused on returning to Chelsea at the end of the season as one of the best in his trade. Jimmy goes on to say, Juice mate, we Chelsea fans do not believe a single thing in the media about us. Most of us knew that Lukaku wasn't pushed out by Mourinho, as every single one of the articles claimed. And this here is a direct quote from Lukaku saying that he was the one who asked for a loan. I do hope the media stops writing hundreds of articles every time the kid scores a goal for Everton, that Mourinho made a mistake by loaning him out, and that he is some sort of a victim. He's our player, he's been a Chelsea fan from his childhood days, he's highly rated in here, and he's been loaned out for a reason. That reason was very obvious in the Everton versus Swansea game of last week, and we're hoping that his regular game time would give him confidence to come back even better than before. Thanks, and keep the show going, Jimmy. Jimmy, I tell you what, we did say, and we did hear from Romelu Lukaku exclusively on the show, about him saying he wanted to have a second loan spell about this time last year when he was at West Bromwich Albion. He said he wanted to be out on loan for another year after last season. That doesn't surprise me then that he did ask Mourinho for this. I apologise for discrediting Jose Mourinho when I said, why did Chelsea let him go when Lukaku asked, it seems, to go out on loan? It doesn't surprise me that he would ask. He knows that the benefit of getting regular game time, of being in a Premier League side consistently heading into a World Cup year, with Christian Benteke, of course, playing week in, week out at Aston Villa. He's got his injury problems at the moment, receiving treatment back in Belgium for a knee injury. It was the last I heard of Christian Benteke. So Lukaku knew that getting regular playing time is the best way for him to improve. And he also knew that it's the best way and the best chance for him to get a shot at playing at the World Cup and starting for Belgium next year. So no surprise to see this article. But what does surprise me then is why Chelsea wouldn't think about trying to bring him back, when you've seen how good he already is, how dominant he can be. You just wonder why he's not being given then the opportunity to play in this Chelsea side when they are struggling for goals. That then has to become the new question for Chelsea. Why not bring him back in January? It'd be interesting to see if we do see him come back in January, or if that's even part of the loan agreement, if that's available. We'll have to try and find that out in the next couple of days here at World Football Daily. I'll do some ring around and try and find out a few bits and bobs from anybody I can talk to up at Everton. In the meantime, while we wait for that answer, and we will leave you to debate whether Romelu Lukaku would be starting outright as your star centre forward at Chelsea, we will leave it there. Remember, show at worldfootballdaily.com is where you can email us, at WFootballDaily as well on Twitter. 310-909-8483 is, of course, the rant line, and the Facebook page as well. We're going to continue eating and enjoying the festive season here at World Football Daily as the football continues for us on the show. We hope you're having an absolutely cracking festive period, and we look forward to catching up with all of you once we get back to business. And I'm looking forward to catching up with Rafa as well. Kind of missing that guy today on the show, but we've got through it either way. We'll of course be hearing, hopefully, from Sam Allardyce when we return, and Keith Downing as well, when we get back to business come Monday. Possibly some players as well, but that tends to be a little more difficult to come by at points. But we will definitely have Keith Downing and Sam Allardyce listening to them, especially with Big Sam under pressure. Who is more under pressure though? Paul Lambert, the itchy trigger finger of the Villa board, might be thinking, with Solskjaer showing apparently some interest in that West Brom job, if they can try and bring him in before the Baggies do. And of course, Big Sam down in London. Will this be his last hoorah? Will Liverpool finally show their title credentials against Chelsea? Have they already? Will Chelsea find a goal from one of their strikers that isn't a dodgy deflection of Demba Ba's knee? And of course, will Tim Sherwood be able to pull Tottenham out of their troubles at the moment? We'll find out all of that, hopefully, when we return. And if not, by the end of the January period. We'll be back on Monday. We will see you then. Take care. Enjoy the football. It's only the Premier League. That's why we've got slightly shorter shows, I guess. Have a great time, and we will catch up with you come Monday morning. Have a good one.